Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, in the radio studios of Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548, where we're on the globe-trotting program, alhamdulillah. And when I say lovely Sunday morning, alhamdulillah, as I was coming to Lanesia this morning, cyclists, joggers, as I went coming from the Houghton area, I found joggers and I was just so taken aback on this lovely Sunday morning. And it's just amazing to note that we have so many of our people on a Sunday morning taking time, just leisuring and taking it easy and doing these things. Alhamdulillah. We make shukr to the Almighty Allah for this ni'mah that He has given us, for doing that and for being so comfortable in whatever we want to do. And we should take note of people abroad. We should take note of people that are unfortunate and cannot even get out of their houses. They cannot even do things like that. Make shukr to the Almighty Allah. And we should make shukr to the Almighty Allah for giving us the health as well. For getting out there, walking, running. You find all different exercises that people do. That is a ni'mat. Ask the one, not the one that does not have shoes. Ask the one that does not have legs. Without arms, who's deaf, who's dumb. You know, there's many, many factors which affects lots of people. And all these things, all we do is we say, Ya Allah, shukr to Allah for giving us this ni'mat of just the eyes, just the ears, whatever it may be. We are so thankful. We are just so thankful. And we make dua to the Almighty Allah for that, alhamdulillah. And it's just, weather-wise as well, alhamdulillah, fantastic today. We came through, I'm driving with my guest in the vehicle, and we're coming through. What lovely weather today. And that is also a ni'mat from the Almighty Allah. Shukr to the Almighty Allah for that. And another thing, this week we've been getting many calls regarding destinations. We spoke last week about Turkey as well, and there's so many calls that came in about Turkey. People wanting to go to Turkey, asking me of the best time to go to Turkey. And lots of people are asking about late December, early January. My advice, personal advice, please, it's personal advice. December, January is pretty cold in Turkey, I would say. Depending where you're going, it's very cold. And when you want to go for a holiday, I don't think you want to go there with thick jerseys, jackets, and frieze, and scarves. And, you know, you don't want to be chattering while you're going to all these tourist places. So going in December, if you're okay with weathers like that, fine, you may go. But then also when you're there, it makes a bit of a difference, because then that what you can see, that what you can do, is always less than what you could do during the warm weathers and during summers. So Turkey, yes, we spoke about Turkey, but let's look at timing as well. Lots of people that we've spoken to, especially now this past week, now that people are now preparing for their holidays, they're planning their trips now. Many have planned their trips already from May, June, July. In fact, I had listeners who started from about January, February, and we've been working back and forth on itineraries with them. People had been emailing me their itineraries, working towards that, helping them, changing, coming back and forth. And people have booked already. And those were the lucky ones that booked at the rate of the rand dollar, where we're looking at about 7, 8 rands at the time. And today we're looking at 13.50, 13.60. So if you are going for a holiday, it's double from January already. So if you booked early, you were very lucky. And good luck to you on your holidays that you've now pre-booked. Many have done that, and lots are going to the Far East this time around as well. And I think that is about the best. When you look at South African holidays, or South Africans going for a holiday, you're looking at December, January. That is our summer. And above the equator, you obviously got winter. So you got to choose your destination very carefully. If you're looking at going in December, January to south of the equator, you're looking at Australia, you're looking at the South American continent. So, and also the African continent from central to south. So those are the holiday destinations you look at December, January. But then again, you're looking at mid-year, when it's our winter, you go above the equator. So that makes it, you know, it's your choice of countries. But when it comes to the Far East, also in December, you have good weathers. Because their temperatures, their lowest temperatures sometimes go to about 13, 14, 15 degrees Celsius, which is good for us. We are adapted to that type of temperatures and without freezing. So that's good. And I think that's an advantage that you have if you are choosing to go to the Far East. Now, we had a hype and we had a good discussion about India as well. We had many people talking about the OCI in particular. Now, today, I'm not going to talk of Indian tourism, We'll have Indian tourism, definitely we'll have Indian tourism on another day, which will probably need a full program. But today we're talking specifically on OCI. Now, if you're talking OCI, many would ask, what is OCI? You know, we have these terminologies as well. People are confusing it with OIC and OCI, whatever it may be. Now, OCI is an overseas citizenship of India. As I mentioned last week and week before last as well, to market this program for today, despite all the news coverage and excitement over the issue, we must understand that the Constitution of India does not allow dual citizenship. That is simultaneous holding Indian citizenship and citizenship of a foreign country. The government of India has decided to grant overseas citizenship of India, which most people mistakenly refer to as dual citizenship. The persons of Indian origin, it's called the PIO of certain categories who migrated from India and acquired citizenship of a foreign country other than Pakistan and Bangladesh are eligible to be granted an OCI as long as their home countries allow dual citizenship in some form or the other under their local laws. There are one, two restrictions as well. Now, I don't want to sound like a professional in OCI. I must tell you, as I mentioned last week and week before that we're talking OCI, I had a number of listeners who contacted me and also SMS'd me, emailed me as well, as simple as just telling me, this is my mother's name, that's my father's name, can I get the OCI? No, it's not as easy as that. I cannot grant you an OCI. I cannot give you an OCI. And the OCI that we talk of as well, it's not from my side. I'm facilitating from the Consulate of India and ourselves and yourselves just to facilitate the information to be passed on. There's lots of confusion. Lots of people are not aware of what OCI is about. And people have not heard of OCI as well. We're bringing the awareness to our people about the OCI. And the queries have come thick and fast this past week as well. Whatever, I've had lots of queries, but I've shifted lots of them because it's asking me for the information. Best to do is we have a professional guest who deals only in the OCI or who deals whose job is part of from the consulate and who deals with the OCI on a professional basis, and he's got all the information and he gives us the information. And on a Sunday morning to come to the studio to assist our listeners. You know, I'm very, very thankful to Mr. Alok Pandey, who's the head of the Consular and Community Affairs at the Consulate General of India in Johannesburg. Thank you very much, Mr. Pandey. Thank you for joining us on the Sunday morning, coming to Tulanesia all the way, talking to our listeners. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Mohammed. Very good morning to all your listeners. And one thing I can assure you is that in the coming 1 hour, whatever their queries are, I will try to set it aside and remove them to the best of my ability. So I'm ready, and if your listeners are ready, let's call it best.
Let's get rolling.
Let's regard. Exactly. Absolutely.
That's Mr. Alok Pandey. Our SMS line is open on 072-786-5520. I'll go slow with it. My brother always tells me, he says, when you mention your SMS number, you like speed through your SMS number. So this is for my brother as well. My SMS line, my SMS number, 072-786-5520. It's 072-786-5520. My email address, Mohammed, Mohamed, at globetrotting, GLOBETROTTING, Mohammed at globetrotting.co.za. You may contact us. You may leave, if you want to contact the studio as well, you can, Mohammed is at the controls at the moment. You can leave your questions with him at the controls. I'm not so sure if we're going to be taking calls. No, Mohammed says, no, we won't be taking calls into the studio. It takes a bit of time. So your questions can be posted to Mohammed Bhai at the studio at 011-854-1548. At 011-854-1548. SMS line 072-786-5520. And we will really, really take it on from there. And we'll pass all your questions to the person, to our gentleman here, our guest, our special guest. And we take it in and allay your fears in whatever you have. There are many people that are wondering and they're asking questions of the cost. It's so costly. How do we operate? What do we do? And let us allay that and show you how easy it is. People wanting to know that what information do you need? It's like some one gentleman called me, I think it was last week, Tuesday, Wednesday. He says, do we need a Bible of information? You don't need a Bible of information. You need 2-3 documents, 4 documents, basic information, and it's done. And I've seen it while I was sitting with Mr. Alok Pandey in his office, and I've seen it. Some people come with applications that is probably about 100, 200 pages, which is not necessary. But that is just supporting documents. But more than that, what is required? Mr. Alok Pandey will definitely help us with that. Mr. Alok Pandey, now when we talk of OCI, give us a brief on OCI. The start of when we say OCI, who's the beneficiaries of OCI and what is OCI? Give us the meaning of OCI in the first place. And not like some say the OIC is the OCI. Let us clarify that.
Yeah, definitely, Mohammed. First of all, let us understand what is OCI. OCI is a scheme of Government of India, which is known as Overseas Citizenship of India. But please, I repeat, please, it is a misnomer, don't go by the name of it. At the best that you can say is that it's a long-term visa. Long-term in the sense it is visa for life.
Yes.
So, if you have a OCI card with you, then you can uninterruptedly travel to India without getting any visa from the Indian Consulate or from the Indian High Commission or from the Indian Embassy. That gives you a sort of ready as a ticket, you know. You can take it and that will be be the thing which you take it and immediately enter India. So that is one part. And if you draw it a parallel, it is something what we, in a broad sense, you can see it as a green card in United States. So if you have a green card, you don't have to apply for a visa in United States, and you just go and take your ticket and enter United States. So this is a basic, clarification at the start. I thought I would make it.
Exactly. So that is what it's very basic, very simple and straightforward. Now the SMSs are coming in thick and fast. There's some that I'm going to shelve for after the news, and the very basic question. Okay, I've got one here, but it's regarding land. But before that, let us first look at the OCI itself. When it comes to applying for an OCI, the simplicity in applying for an OCI, people are not aware of how easy it is, because lots of people have heard of OCI before, but the simplicity hasn't been given to the people. Let us give them the simplicity of applying for an OCI, and who's the eligible, the genuine eligible persons that can take OCI applications from you.
Mohammed, just sorry to interrupt you, but let us first, before a person applies for an OCI, or even if he thinks about an OCI, I think we should let them know what are the benefits and what are the things that come with as a part and parcel of the OCI.
Yes.
So the important thing is that there are very, very good schemes of Government of India to encourage the person of Indian origin who have left India long time back and taken a citizenship of any other country. So in order to have a good sense, in order to encourage them to visit India, to have connections with their once upon a time country, various schemes of Government of India have been introduced. It all started with the extension of visa, which we were giving for a year, 2 years, 3 years. But slowly and steadily, in many countries, we have introduced a long-term visa. Especially, it is a principle of reciprocity also. I mean, I'm not going into the technicality of it, but with some countries, we have visa regime.
Yes.
In which we give 10-year visa. And to give an example is the United States, because they also extend the same courtesy to us. So that is the basic thing. And after, in around 1995, 96, around that period, we thought, the Government of India thought, why can't these 10-year visas be extended up to 15-year visa?
Yes.
So then the concept of the person of Indian origin card came up. And the Government of India introduced this scheme in which a person of Indian origin, I hope those people understand what exactly the person of Indian origin means.
Yes.
Just to give you an example and of differentiating between a person of Indian origin and the non-resident Indian, the simple thing is that a non-resident Indian has an Indian passport.
Right.
But a person of Indian origin does not have it. He is having a passport of the country with whom it belongs.
The country that he adopted,
the,
yes.
He has adopted in the later years, and he has taken a passport. But he was once, or his ancestors were once a part of India. They were a citizen of India. So that is why he is not a person of Indian origin. And on the other hand, if a person who's having an NRI card or NRI person is a person who has an Indian passport, and generally he resides outside the country for his service, etc., etc. So this is the basic difference.
Okay, so that is so those are the people that are eligible for all that now. The SMS
No, NRIs, of course, NRIs are not, because they are having Indian passports, so they are not, obviously, they are not eligible for it. But all the person of Indian origin card, persons of Indian origin, who either them or their ancestors would have been a citizen of India in 1950, I'm talking in very general terms, otherwise there is a definition given, and I can refer a website where everybody can have a read. In fact, if anybody wants to note it down, they can note it down. It is M for man,
yes.
H for horse, A for apple.
M-H-A.
M-H-A.
Yeah.
Dot N-I-C, N for Nancy, I for India, and C for cat.
N-I-C, yes.
Dot in. I-N-N, as in in.
So it's www.mha.nic.in. Okay, I'll keep that with me as well.
Yes, you can
pass that on to the listeners.
Of course. This is a website where you can come and have it's a beautiful website. It is very customer-friendly website of Government of India. And it gives you everything, how you can approach Indian Mission, how can you talk about India things, how can you approach for an OCI, what is a PIO, what is OCI, everything is given
The information is given on that, I've got this question that came here, Salams. I have my granny's copy of the South African ID. It only states that she was born in India, she has passed on now. I don't have any other legal documents proving my origin from India other than that. Will this be sufficient? Now, that's a question I also had earlier on. It's not our parents' details, but the grandparents' details. What happens from there? How do we go about applying from there?
You know, we have been working on it very, very, very rigorously, how to help our person of Indian origin who are here in South Africa to get an OCI card. And during this process, what I have found is that the government of South Africa, whether it be the apartheid government or before that the British government or whatever, the records have been kept very straight.
Yes.
So there are various archives. To give an example, there is an archives, National Archives in Pretoria.
Okay.
So you can approach them. I mean, of course, there is a way of doing it. And the best way of doing is that you have to have a file number.
Okay.
Now, you will ask me, what is this file number? Every person who had entered South Africa as an immigrant.
Yes.
During, even in 1990s, 1890s or before that, or even 1940s, whatever, they were given an E number. Now, this E number is known as the immigration number. This immigration number has all the details, and they are kept in a file. And this file is known as E file. The immigration file.
Yes, okay.
And every individual, every immigrant, as I said, has got this file. Sometime people come to me and say that, look here, you have told me that this file should be there, but, you know, I could not find this file.
Right.
So what you have to do is, when you approach National Archives, there should be a process. And I can readily help people when they come to the consulate, because we have got all those photocopies, because it would not be possible here to explain all the steps that one has to take.
Right.
But it has to be done first online.
Right, okay.
All these archives have a website.
Okay.
So there is a process of doing it. Please come to the consulate and we'll help you out. How to approach? In fact, that particular paper means how you can approach the National Archives. So there is a process.
Right, yes. Now, from my knowledge as well, to go for your information at the archives in Pretoria, so it's very, very easy, very straightforward, simply because we have the advantage in South Africa where we had the apartheid, during the apartheid times, where the Indian documentation was kept separate, colored separate, black separate, and white separate. So having that our information is very easy accessible, I believe.
Absolutely.
And when you go there, those people are very helpful to get the information as well. So they will definitely assist us if we do go to Pretoria to get that sorted out. We're already on news time. There's quite a few SMSs that's come through. I am going to go through the SMSs after the news, but we'll continue with Mr. Alok Pandey right after the news. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lamat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on the Globetrotting program. I mustn't get nervous. I just saw Maulana Haider walking in. I must just be very, very careful what I say, I think. But anyway, Maulana Haider has just walked in. Jazakallah for that. And I feel honored and privileged for Maulana to be here with us. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for that. And Mohammed Bhai Rawat, Jazakallah for... I think I should come with Mr. Alok Pandey very often here. I see the savouries that you've brought in here for us. Alhamdulillah. You know, I benefit out of the savouries that you've brought for us here in the name of Mr. Alok Pandey. Thank you very much, Mohammed Bhai, for that. Jazakallah for that. Lovely. Jazakallah. And tell the family at home also, Jazakallah, for taking time and bringing those savouries for us. Jazakallah, Mohammed Bhai. We're talking about the Indian OCI, as we just heard before the news as well. I'm going to get stuck into it immediately. There's so many other things that I just, you know, it's on a Sunday morning, for me, it's like verbal diarrhea. I just want to talk of just anything and everything that I know of when it comes to travel. But let me cut all that short today, and we're talking of OCI, so let us concentrate on OCI. The number of SMSs that's coming as well, there's so many SMSs which are, I would say, repeated from different listeners. And there's lots of questions coming regarding the OCI as well. And it's very... very important that we get to the bottom of the applications of OCI. We were just talking to one of our guests as well, and somebody that's just come to the studio, one of our listeners, Mr. Soliba, he's sitting here with us as well. He's just mentioned that he was told and given information that the OCI's cost is in the region of about 8,000-10,000 rands. Some are even talking of going up to about 20,000-25,000 rands. Mr. Pandey, when it comes to cost of the OCI, what is the actual cost that people come and pay you at the consulate? That is what's very important to us.
I'm really surprised. I mean, it is 3,325. That's it for one application. So if anybody is charging you 10,000, 15,000, I don't know from where these people are asking you.
3,325. Now I'm writing this in numbers. I hope I can say it in numbers. I don't have, you know, it's like 780,000,000. No. It's 3,325 rands. As straightforward as nothing more than that.
Nothing more than that.
So those that are talking of 8,000 is just service fees that they asking for, and the information that's required as well. There are so many people that are talking of different information, and they're telling us that it's beyond reach. Now when it comes to the information that is required to apply for an OCI. I know it's as you showed me at the consulate when I came there, the simplicity in applying for the OCI. People are making it sound so difficult. Give us the rundown on what's the basic requirements.
See, for a person of Indian origin, I can understand there can be some problem in getting all the documents. So what the government of India has done, we have been taking this case with our government. And what we have found out is that we have widened and broadened the horizon. For example, earlier we were not accepting the birth certificate of an individual as a basis of the applying. So if a person, I repeat, if yes. a person, like means, it means, you know, here people are in the third generation, second generation, first yes. generation or fourth generation. So the ancestor, the person who came to South Africa in the first place,
yes.
if we can get, or any of these, you know, descendants, we can get the birth certificate, which was issued, of course, it was issued in very, very less places in India at that time.
Yes.
But if we can get a birth certificate, that will be more than sufficient to prove the birth certificate is if the passport is not there, if the Indian passport of yes. the individual is not there, I am talking of the person, the ancestor who had come. So the how we, I will give you an example how we do it for a person who has just taken the citizenship of South Africa. What we do is then it will transform into the person of Indian origin. How we can do it with person of Indian origin. So when an NRI takes a South African citizenship, he has the Indian passport. So obviously you have to renounce Indian citizenship because you cannot have dual citizenship.
Yes.
In South Africa, so he renounces his Indian citizenship, we cancel his passport, we issue him a renunciation certificate. Of course, that is some amount of money is required to be paid, hardly, very, very less, not very much.
Okay.
And once the certificate is there, that particular certificate, the renunciation certificate as well as the copy of the Indian passport cancelled that is attached with the OCI application, and we give the OCI to that person.
Okay.
It is as simple as that.
Correct.
The problem comes, or the so-called problem comes, for the people who are here over the perceived problem,
yes,
that they don't have the certificates at home. So what we are looking basically is that if we have the Indian passport of the ancestor who landed in South Africa,
okay,
and that in fact it can be any travel document issued by Government of India at that time.
Right.
Government of India at that time was a British government. So at that time, you can have a passport, Indian passport, you can have a travel document, you can have an emergency travel document. I have seen all these three.
So we can use any of those.
Yes.
Indian documents.
Yes, this was signed in India,
yes,
and we just need a copy. And once we have a copy, get it attested, and we'll issue it.
That brings me to this question here. The SMS that came through on our SMS line 072-786-5520. The SMS reads here: Salams, both my parents were born in India, but I don't have their Indian birth certificates or passports. What must I do? Now, that's what we mentioned. You need to go to the Pretoria archives and get. But now, all you need is probably, you need some information.
Some information I will clarify. In fact, it is always better to talk in person, because on a radio or even TV channel, you cannot explain how we operate.
Yes.
But what I can assure is that we are very much, we know about this problem. So we have expanded it. Like, for example, I said a birth certificate.
Yes.
Now, with a birth certificate, then you can, or a passport, or you have a landed property in India, your ancestors, and that was in your ancestors' name. So if it is like that, we can with the unabridged birth certificate, we can link it with the ancestors. So suppose X person has come, say in 1890.
Yes.
So at least we will be having at least two generations or three generations. So thus, the person who has come in 1890, his passport, the Indian passport, or his birth certificate,
right,
and then his offspring, like for example his son or daughter, then the son and daughter of the second generation, and with the unabridged birth certificate we can link it.
Yes.
To establish that this thing is there in place, and then we issue it. The other thing that we have done is, apart from the birth certificate, we have got, if the ancestor had any landed property or any sort of property in India,
yes,
which was in his name.
Yes.
And please mind it, it should not be a notarized copy, because in India, notary is a very, very simple thing.
Yes.
You don't trust wholeheartedly. It has to be with the development authority or with the agriculture authority, whatever.
Right, yes.
And that is how, and again, through the unabridged birth certificate, we'll link it. Other important, even if you don't have this, but you have the unabridged birth certificate, and there is when I will request a person who is going to the archives for getting all these documents, please look also for a DI-91 form.
That now is there.
Yeah, this you can get it in the national archives or in the archives in various parts of in South Africa. What happens, Mohammed, is that any person who has taken citizenship in South Africa, whether it be Indian or from other country, when he or she was applying for the citizenship of this country, there is a procedure which I have seen in the archives, the papers that I have seen, of authenticating that the person's citizenship, previous citizenship, what was his previous citizenship.
Yes.
So for example, like for you, Mohammed, suppose your father had come here,
right,
and he has taken a citizenship. After that, you have taken a citizenship.
Right.
So when they will process your father's case,
yes,
your father's place of stay in India, because
yes,
he was an Indian citizen.
Right.
So there will be a form which will be got filled by your father or your mother, father,
yes,
whatever it is.
Right.
And then once this form is filled, all the details of your family will be given, plus your father's detail.
Right.
And it will go from the immigration here, from the Home Department to the immigration in South Africa, and then immigration in India,
mm-hmm,
and then the place where the person was staying. And then the local administration, whether it be deputy magistrate, district magistrate, additional district magistrate, first class magistrate, whoever it is,
yes,
he will certify
Right. Yes.
That the person was staying here before he moved out.
Okay. So that there is a record of that particular person.
There should be. Because what happens is that this particular document moves at least two times.
Right. Okay.
Because one going from South Africa to, from South Africa to India.
Yes.
And from India to South Africa.
Right. Yes.
And in many times what I found during my experience is that many times it is not filled properly or there is some lacuna. So it is again sent, refilled.
Right.
So there is a possibility of getting this particular certificate many times.
You can get it, yes.
You can get it in the National Archives.
Right, okay. I've got a question that came through here as well. It says, I've got like about 18 questions here, but one of them here now, it says, Salam.
I think you should tell them to the consulate.
We'll go through them.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to ask Professor Villa if he can give us a little bit of extra time after 10:30, you know, if Mr. Pandey is available to let us
know. I'm here. I'm at your disposal. Correct. This is my Sunday. I will give it every time to you. Don't worry.
Thank you. So now it all depends on Professor Villa. Professor Villa, we've got Maulana Haider here. You can just please ask him for permission to give us a few minutes more. We got a question here. It says, Salam's question for Indian consulate. If a husband has an OCI, what is the cost and turnaround time for the wife and children to obtain their OCI? Do you get a family discount as well? Oh, wow, lovely question.
I must appreciate the question. No, you don't get any. Sorry, you don't get any discount. But yes, this is another thing that we have introduced. The government of India has introduced earlier. You know, you have to qualify on your own to get a overseas citizenship of India.
Okay.
But now, a spouse, a person who already have a OCI, his or her spouse is entitled to get OCI. Obviously, the children were getting it earlier also, but this is a new thing, and in the new scheme of things, this has also been done. The other thing, in fact, it just reminded me because I should also make it clear. We used to issue the person of Indian origin card. That particular scheme has been amalgamated with the overseas citizenship of India. So, earlier in the PIO card, we were issuing 15 years visa.
Okay.
Now,
it used to be called PIO. I know there were two, previously, I think about 5-6 years ago when in the family we were discussing it, there used to be two before. One was a 15-year one and another one was a lifelong one. So now I believe the 15-year one has now fallen
15
away.
15-year, technically we have amalgamated, we have withdrawn that particular scheme, but actually right. What we have done is that we are issuing a lifelong, if anybody has a PIO card, they are most welcome to come to the consulate. What we'll do is we will write... in where the time period is given 15 years, we'll just write lifelong.
Oh, okay.
That visa will be lifelong. We got that card will be lifelong, and there is a para 4 in the PIO card which says that once a person comes and stays more than 6 months, he has to approach and get approval or inform the foreign registration regional registration office, the FRRO, if he wants to continue stay more than 6 months. So that thing has also been disallowed.
Right.
That has been removed.
So it's all been consolidated now.
It has been consolidated, and I recommend we have up till a window open up till 2016 March.
Yeah.
March 31st 2016, where your PIO can be converted into OCI on gratis basis.
Oh, so if you have the PIO, you can convert.
I mean, it depends upon. We are not disturbing any person. We are not disturbing any PIO person.
Yes.
Who's having a card. But what we are saying is that there is a scheme in which. All the PIO card can be converted into OCI without any charges.
Very important.
It's a gratis basis. And the application system is the same, that when you apply for an OCI, there is a column which says, mention your PIO card number. For those people who are having a PIO already, they have to just mention that OCI card, that PIO card when they are applying for the OCI. The important thing is added thing in this is that when you are applying for a conversion of a PIO into OCI, all those documents which you have submitted while your PIO was being applied, please have a copy of that.
Okay.
So that we don't take time in getting.
You present those documents.
You know what happens is that you should also understand. My department does something like 20,000 odd consular services apart from doing the community services.
Yes.
So. It takes a lot of time to get those papers from our archives, what we call our archives. So if we have those papers in intact, which have been submitted along with the PIO, it gives you much more added advantage of deciding it quickly.
Yes. Okay. So that's very
I think there was another question which was saying that how much time does it take for a spouse OCI?
Yes,
there is some time, so additional time taken
for the spouse, no?
For the spouse, and yes, there is a valid reason for it.
Okay.
But we are trying to reduce that also.
All
let's see what happens. But right now, it is taking time.
Okay.
I agree.
Another one, does one have to give up the South African citizenship? I think we mentioned that you don't have to give up your South African citizenship.
I don't know why these rumors are floating around. Why should you give South African citizenship? You are a well-settled South African citizen. Government of India is not saying that you give up your South African citizenship. It is for your benefit.
It is
an advantage that you get a visa. And its visa is, one should understand. I will take just 2 minutes to explain what advantages you are there with the OCI. It's not only a visa for life. I mean,
yes,
it is good for people who are doing business. You go there, get things, stuff, and get out. But it is a whole lot of things which comes with OCI. For example, you can take an employment in India.
Right. You can do that.
Yeah,
on the OCI.
There are certain restrictions, of course. Like, for example, you cannot take an employment of being president of India.
All right, of course. So government official posts and so on.
So those things are very, very mentioned. I don't want to repeat it because it will be sounding so familiar, because all this is given in the website.
You are given lots of privileges you're given.
Yes.
The only thing is you're looking at the official part of it, and I think it's land. You cannot acquire land.
If you see on the whole, you are getting advantage as far as staying in India is concerned. You can stay as long as you want.
Right.
And previously, you didn't have that advantage because if you wanted to stay for long, even if you are having a PIO card, you were asked to report to the FRRO, and he had the privilege of extending it in the sense that he would have informed him, look here, I am to stay here for long.
Yes.
But for this present OCI, you don't have to inform anybody. You just go there and stay.
As long as you are
As long as you want. As long as you are in India, no questions asked. And the second thing is, of course, which are financial. I understand what you are hinting at. There are a lot of financial things which come with the package. Like, for example, you are treated, a person of OCI card holder is treated at par as an NRI.
All right. Okay.
Now, this has got a varied implications. For example, you have to show your OCI card in any of the any of the monuments that you are visiting.
Yes.
You'll be charged what an Indian is charged.
Okay, let's give the example of the Taj Mahal that we
suppose.
Spoke
I mean, in Taj Mahal, of course, it's one of the 7 wonders of the world. So, a foreigner going to visit Taj Mahal, he is being charged say $100. And an Indian going to see Taj Mahal, obviously, he cannot pay that much amount of money.
Yes.
So he is being charged 50 rupees or 100 rupees. So an OCI card holder will be charged only 100 rupees or 50 rupees, whatever is the ticket.
So your cost for your OCI in South Africa is almost covered already for your application cost.
I can't say. But yes, not only that, but if you are going for, say for domestic travel.
Yes.
A foreigner is charged in dollars.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Whatever is the flight, whatever international price, they are charged. But you are charged as an Indian.
Yes.
So domestically also, if you are flying within India, I mean domestic flight means if you are flying inside India.
Yes.
I'm not talking outside. So if you are saying, say you are going from place say Calcutta to Delhi.
Yes.
And the charges for a foreign tourist is say $500.
Yeah.
And for an Indian it is say 2,000 rupees.
Yes.
So you'll be charged 2,000 rupees.
Wow, what an advantage.
I mean, I don't know why this is all given in the website, nobody reads
it. What are you doing basically is telling us, okay, here's your, give us 3,325 rand, we're going to give you like hundreds of thousands of rands more than that, indirectly.
Mohammed,
that's what it looks
Mohammed,
like.
From government of India side, it is not that we are saying that it is your economic advantage. What you're saying is that we want
are
to...
Are we looking at it like that?
We are wanting you to come. It is your land. It is your country. It was once upon your ancestors' land. You have links with there. You have relatives there. We are just facilitating. We are trying to bring people closer. Because we understand, and this is particularly with South Africa, people have come here and for many years because of economic reasons, because of social reasons, because of apartheid, because of various other reasons, they have not been able to see their relatives for 50 years, 60 years, I don't know how many years. But once you have this OCI, you will think of going and meeting them.
Of course.
And it's a love affection that India and brings together with the people here.
Right.
So it's very important that I'm not talking of the economic sense at all. But yes,
leave that to us.
I leave it to individual. What should I say about it?
Another question here: does one lose South African pension if they were to apply? I think I would answer that. You wouldn't lose your pension in South Africa.
If you are not losing your South African citizenship,
you will not lose your pension.
I should not say anything after this.
Okay, I have an OCI, but my passport will expire. Can I use it like the USA visa, or will I need to reapply on the new passport? Now, I think there's a difference with the OCI sticker and the OCI passport card or something.
Now, very good question which has come, and I would like to answer it and very categorically mention. Earlier, there was a card and a visa sticker, which is known as universal visa sticker, which was pasted in the passport of the individual, like South African passport in this particular case. Now, that thing has stopped.
All right.
Now, you're just being issued a card.
Oh, okay. So that's a lifelong card.
No. Unfortunately, what happens is that in that card, the passport number has to be mentioned. Otherwise, how will you relate which passport is with this OCI?
But then in that case, every 10 years, you got to go and we got to come to the embassy. And
it's simply, say $25, how much? Nothing.
Yes. Okay.
So this is a miscellaneous service. If this gentleman, I don't know who what is his name, but if he goes to the same website, which I have mentioned, and go, there are two things given. On the first list, we have the original, the application which is being applied for the first time.
Yes.
And then in down below it is miscellaneous service of the OCI.
Right.
So he goes for this particular aspect has been kept in mind, because many times what happens is that you lose a OCI card, or sometimes it is expired, your passport is expired. So there is a miscellaneous form which is there. Miscellaneous is mentioned. So you go and apply there and bring it to us with all your documents. We'll issue it. Yeah.
Okay. And then, Salams, when you go to the website, what form do you fill in for the OCI? The late grandmother is from India. Now, obviously, we mentioned of what documentation is required.
Documentation has to be for the individual who is applying.
Yes.
Because he's the person who will be using that card. And of course, as I said, connect it with your ancestors and your forefathers. That is how you have to do it.
Gee. All right. Okay. So that clarifies that. Now, there's another one that's very important. With OCI, can I buy property or open a bank account or own a company or a property company?
In other words,
can we move money around, basically? legally move money around. Huh? Let's say like that.
Two, three things I would like to clarify. I am not an economic expert or a commercial expert, but I can tell you from my general knowledge is that you can buy property in India. An OCI card holder can buy a property in India,
right?
But he cannot buy a plantation or an agriculture property.
Oh, so you can buy.
You can buy flats. You can buy shops. You can buy whatever. Whatever you think proper, you can buy it.
Yeah.
Of course, you can open in a bank account. If you are there for 6 months, you can open a PAN card. That is the permanent account number from the Income Tax Department. And things like that. I think what you were asking was about the
property. It says, with the OCI, can I buy property or open a bank account or own a company or a property company?
There are certain laws as an NRI also has to obey. So those laws you have to obey. That's all. So you can do it.
Right.
And only thing is that you have to be very careful in the sense that if you are opening your company, then everything, all the paperwork should be complete. As a matter of fact, a company can be opened by a person who does not even have an OCI.
Yes.
So, OCI if you are having, obviously you can open it.
Another question, just on that, it looks like another question has come in here. Are there any tax implications?
Whatever the local tax you have to pay.
Ah, okay, so that is.
What I'm saying is that all the rules and regulations of Indian, which has been observed by an NRI, because we are giving you all the benefits of an NRI.
Yeah.
You have to follow that.
Okay, there's another one. Is my late father's E number enough of my late grandfather who has property in India?
Now, if that property is in the name of his great-grandfather or grandfather?
It sounds like the grandfather.
Now, if the property is in the name of the grandfather, it should be, as I said, it should be from some development authority or some village which you should certify. And then from this, that particular, angle, you should have an unabridged birth certificate connecting from your grandfather to your father to yourself.
Right, okay.
I think I'm clear.
So there's a link on that. I have a PIO card. Where do I go and change it to an OCI card? Oh, I'm in Durban.
You can apply in person at the consulate in Durban.
Or they can apply for it at the consulate.
Yes. What you can do, I mean, it depends upon you. Again, I repeat, if you are comfortable, as a matter of fact, when you are traveling to India, you can ask the immigration officer to stamp it lifelong.
Okay.
They have been instructed.
Yes, they can.
They have been instructed. Now, if they don't do it, don't get angry. You come to our consulate, we'll do it.
Okay.
And we'll do it in very, very short time. Because only thing is, in fact, this particular facility is extended so that we phase out the PIO card. So there is no confusion as far as the immigration.
Gradually out with that, yes.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to answer this question here. It says, I would like to know where the archives are in Pretoria at the Department of Home Affairs.
Not in Department of Home Affairs. No, you have to Google it.
Yes.
And please don't go directly.
Yeah.
Please, if anybody who wants to go to the National Archives, there is a way of approaching National Archives. If you go directly, nothing will come out because everybody is so busy and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of files.
Maybe
hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
So it will be very difficult. If you have an E number or
that's
an E file.
Yes, that's easy.
If you have an E file only, then they will help you.
Okay.
And please make an appointment, but if you start going there in hordes, they're also having a hard time. So
okay.
Please. And not only National Archives, there are archives if suppose you're outside Johannesburg or outside Pretoria, outside Gauteng province. There in Durban we have, in Cape Town, in fact, in one of the cases I found the papers coming from National Archives, Archives in Cape Town.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I don't know why this paper went to Cape Town, but somehow...
The information came from there.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one here. How long do you have to be married in order for your spouse to get an OCI?
2 years.
And a
certificate for that.
2 years marriage. Okay, now that brings us to this question here. Is Islamic...
I think you should come to my consulate and then we can...
Let's
just
go
to some of it's okay.
Maulana has given us a little extra time, so
okay.
let's just help some of our people out there.
Okay.
That question came on this phone as you saw. Now, on the next phone, with this one here, it says, is Islamic marriages recognized for the spouse's OCI?
Many of the cases where I've seen, rather most of the cases which have come to us, we have seen that the Home Department had issued a marriage certificate.
Okay, so, but yes, I think now Islamic marriages are recognized in South Africa, yes.
That's what I'm saying, whatever
so
I have seen,
that, yes.
And we recommend.
Okay,
we recommend.
That's fine then.
I'm not against that, I will not accept that.
Yes.
But on a case-to-case basis we can decide, but it will be better that we have it from the Home Department.
Right, okay, and then I've got this one here, it says... I'm going through this. Okay, it says, my maternal grandfather was from India. His surname differed in South Africa compared to his South African ID as a third-generation South African citizen. How can this be resolved?
So there are various ways of resolving it, Muhammad. I hope
he's not Gabgal.
No, Muhammad, this is a very, very genuine problem being faced by Indian people of Indian origin in South Africa, because all the names were written by phonetics. Like, so
yes.
Your name is Muhammad. So Muhammad can be written in 10 different ways.
Yes.
And the person at that time sitting at the counter during the apartheid time or before that, he used to write whatever he used to listen. So Muhammad can be M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, it can be M-A-H-M-M-E-D, M-O-H-M-E-D, M-O-H-M-E-D. I mean, it can be anything.
Yeah, this is very important. I'm looking at now what's happening to us as well. In our family also, my surname is one, my sister's surname is another, simply because when they went to the Home Office at the time, during the times of apartheid, when they went to the Home Office and did the application, I was on my father's surname, Lambat. My sister was on my father's name, Hassan. Now, in that case, she's a Hassan. My father is a Lambat. Now, how do you tie all that up now? Technicalities.
There are technicalities, and they have to take it on case-to-case basis. Because I cannot give a straight answer for right now.
You've got to look at the
we
case,
have to
yeah.
look at other. You know, there is important that we have the supporting documents.
Yes.
And from supporting documents, you can make out many things.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, I'm going to take this last SMS. I'm not taking any more SMSs because we're going to talk generally now just about and wind up on that now. It says, how long does it take to process an application, which is very important. How long does it take to process an application? And if you have an OCI card, can you inherit land that we've mentioned already? You can inherit the land if you have an OCI card on that.
Inherit land or plantation property or agricultural property?
It
or
says inherit land or commercial land. If you have an OCI card.
It has to be, we have to clarify it. We have to clarify
and
it. I have to see those papers, what exactly he's asking.
And then do you have to pay income tax on that particular land that you've got?
I said, whatever rules
you have to follow. You have to.
I think there was another question in this.
I've just pushed that question away. It says, okay, let me get it here. You see, the thing is that it seems like the bottom line question here is, it's the taxes that we're talking of, first of all. Now, if you have an OCI card, can you buy or inherit land or commercial land? Can you inherit
What do you mean by commercial land?
Commercial, probably property. A property
commercial
you buy
property.
Or somewhere. Commercial
no,
property.
I mean,
a building or something.
It has to be in his father's or his grandfather's name. And of course, whatever is the rule as per, because I'm not, as I said, I'm not an expert on that. What I can say for sure is that you cannot buy a new fresh landed or plantation or agricultural property.
On that, yeah.
But you can buy other flats.
You can do that.
You have shops, etc.
Now,
yes, you can
yes. Now, if there's a woman that's got an OCI card, her husband can obviously apply on her details
as
a spouse.
That's right.
That can be done as a spouse.
It takes time, but it can be done.
It can be done.
It can be done.
What's your time? The first question that came here was the time frame.
The time frame, we look for 3 months.
Yeah.
But people have to be patient because, if you see, in some cases, there has to be some issues which crops up.
Yes.
Because all these papers are very old.
Right.
And we have to arrive at a certain decision. And that is why it can take more time. But normally, the turnaround time is 3 months.
Oh, it's about 3 months. Yes.
But perfect. For a spouse thing, as I said, it's taking time. It's taking. We are trying to reduce that time also. But it's taking
now,
time.
Now, it's a question which I would like to ask you. There are lots of South Africans at the moment whose parents had land and whose parents had properties in India. They are now going and they're selling property, coming back the same. Now, as far as if you got an OCI, they're currently doing it on the South African documentation. If you apply for an OCI, what is a better way of doing it if you want to sell that land? You sell it on your OCI documentation or South African documentation?
I don't think OCI documentation is required for
buying and selling land?
I don't think so.
No, you don't need
that. Again, I'm not an expert, but I'm just taking from my what is my insight.
All right.
OCI will allow you to stay as long as you want there to pursue your selling and buying of property.
Yes.
I mean, if you go on a visa, maximum you can go is 6 months.
All right. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And that after 6 months you have to come back but if you are on this particular OCI, if you are having an OCI, you can stay for a long time, you can pursue it, you can contact people who matters and who are there, you can work it out.
Now, in fact, Ismail Bhai asked us, Ismail Bhai from the studio earlier on, he spoke to us, he asked us here, he says, does India issue work permits?
We don't call it work permit.
Yeah.
Now, the definition of work permit in our sense is an employment visa.
Okay.
So now, if a person is going to India for an employment and he does not have an OCI, an employment visa is issued as per rules.
All right, okay. That's
so we are not
over a certain period of time, a year, 2 years, whatever it may be.
We have to see various things and then an employment visa is issued.
All right.
As a person who is having an OCI, he goes there. He can start
without work permits or anything. So an OCI is.
But in certain cases, like for example, I will say that if you are looking for a job like your job,
yes,
it's a journalist job.
Yeah.
Then you should have a different. You have to have come to us, and then we'll see how.
Accordingly, yes, of course.
There are certain cases, but you can pick up, you can do business, you can do
It's all on case basis, definitely.
It is on case basis. An important thing is that I think this I forgot to tell you. India is an emerging economy, and I think it's about third or fourth in the world economy now. We have got various institutes where people are being imparted education. engineering colleges, medical colleges,
yes,
universities, and the person of Indian origin who has got an OCI card, he or the child who is having an OCI card, they can be admitted to various medical institutions,
okay,
and engineering colleges as per the norms of the particular institute. So
okay,
you don't need a student visa for that.
Right, yes.
For
absolutely
the child or for the person who is pursuing a course, OCI is sufficient enough.
Ah, so there's so much of advantages with the OCI now. The agents are going to, I hope they don't wait outside for me here at the studio, because I'm going to make mention that the cost of this whole OCI is 3,325.
What I want to say, Mohammed, sorry to interrupt, but I want to appeal that please come directly to the consulate.
That's the best. That's the easiest.
You take an appointment, you come to the consulate, don't be afraid of the consulate.
Yes.
Please. What I have found is that people are afraid, they tremble when they come in front of me. I mean, do I look
when I saw Mr. Alok Pandey for the very first time as well, I said, wow, you know, if all counselors and all ambassadors could be so free with a human being. And they are so accessible. Believe me when I tell you, when you go to the embassy as well, when you go to the consulate as well, they are accessible. They are human beings. You know, and people, and Mr. Pandey, I must tell you this, sir. Many a times people will tell me, hey, you like rub shoulders with the ambassadors and all that. How do you get it? It's not how do you get it right. It's they are human beings. They talk to you like human beings. They come to you and it's they when you talk to them, they talk to you. It's not inaccessible. So it's not difficult. And what you're telling me is exactly the fact where lots of people tell us that I'd rather give it to an agent and let the agent do it because it's too much of mortgage for all this. It's not that. It's the fear that they have of coming and being formal and doing things. Whereas with an agent, they tell an agent, do like this, do this, do this, whatever it may be. It can be done through the consulate as well, but do it in a
formal
manner.
They are most welcome to
yes
come to the consulate at the counter. If they are not satisfied at the counter, I have my secretary who will take care of it.
Yes.
And if they are not even satisfied with my secretary, I will make them
personally. Yes, no, that's I we've seen it as well, and I've seen all those applications on your desk as well. It's very, very straightforward, very simple, very, you know, it's nothing, no technicalities, straightforward, cut short and done.
Absolutely.
So we're already out of time. We've eaten up 15 minutes of the next program already. I think I just hope they don't throw us out. Normally, Hafiz Anzala is here first at 10:30, get out of the studio. But today, I think Mr. Pandey, I'm really blessed today here.
thank you, Mohammed, for calling me here. And anytime you want my services,
yes,
or any other program that you want from my side, you are most welcome.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pandey. So just just to finish up here, OCI, very simple, Overseas Citizenship of India, very simple. Documents required: ancestors' documents, grandparents' documents, whatever documents you have that you can prove that your parents or grandparents are from India, get that information, bring it together with that information. An unabridged certificate of yourself is very important. That, I think, we should make it clear that you can be, it's not for only the under 18s. You've got to have an unabridged birth certificate, irrespective of whom you are. That has to go together with your application form, which is on the website, www.mha.nic.in. Now I'll say it. MHA standing for Mike Hotel Alpha .nic. That's November India Charlie .in. So www.mha.nic.in. Go onto the website. The application form is on there.
Just to add, Mohammed, when this website, when they open, there will be, it's the Ministry of Home Affairs website.
Right.
On the right-hand side, on e-governance, the first point is the citizenship, OCI and PIO.
On the right-hand side,
click on that. Once they click on that, it will come as the Foreigners, Ministry of Home Affairs, Foreigners Division.
Right.
So when they open that Foreigners Division, the OCI is there.
Okay, now very important when you're filling out the OCI form.
First, it should read the instructions.
Yes.
There are FAQs. There are frequently asked questions. Who is eligible? Who is not eligible? Everything
yes
is given. I would spend at least another half an hour to explain what are there.
But it's there.
So I thought it would be better that they read it on by themselves so that they are satisfied.
All right. And then when you're filling out the application form, my advice is, from what I've done, I've seen it myself as well. I went onto the site to see all the, before I came in to prepare myself for that. When you're filling out the application form, have all your documents with you. What happens is, though that application form gives you I think when you're filling it out, it gives you a limit, time limit. You fill that out to submit online. So have all your information, fill that application form out. If you do not have some information on there, it will give you a reference number which you can log on back onto that website, go onto your application again, which is stored onto the website for, I think, is it 5 days or so?
The application which they fill, what I recommend is that if you have all the documents ready, then you fill the form, because that particular form will be available only for 3 weeks.
Yes. Okay.
After 3 weeks, you can do another. I mean, nobody stops you.
Yes.
You can reapply with a new number.
Yes.
New
okay.
number.
Yeah.
Another important thing is that once you apply for OCI,
yes.
on the same system you have got a tracking.
Okay.
It will tell you where exactly your application is lying, whether it is in the consulate, whether it is in transit to India, whether it has been processed in India, whether it has been completed. The process is completed, whether it has been transferred back to consulate,
so you
whether
know exactly,
it has whether
yes.
it has reached consulate or not. So these are all there in the website.
So you know exactly where your application form
I mean, you have to do,
what's
you
the
have,
process. Yes.
Yeah, you have to fill in, but
yes.
you'll get to know
where yes. what's the process of your application.
Yes.
Very important. In fact, I'm not reading any of these SMSs because we're about over time already. Mr. Pandey, thank you very, very much for joining us, talking about the OCI. If there's anybody that wants any information, they can contact us. We will get this particular program podcasted as well. It will be on Radio Islam's website. You click on podcast, go to Mohammed Lambat and the Globetrotting program, and you'll find this particular program also on the website. So if there's anybody that missed it due to circumstances, you may listen to it whenever at your leisure. It will be podcasted, and it's very important that we, if you need more information, listen to the program, because I think we've allayed all fears, we've detailed everything in this short time here. Whatever applications
still
you require.
Still remaining, they are most welcome at the consulate.
Definitely, we'll do so. If you need any information of Mr. Pandey as well, I'm not going to give Mr. Pandey's information on air, because then, please, I know what happens. It happened to me many a times with ambassadors as well. If you need any information, contact me on Mohammed, Mohammed, Mohammed@globetrotting.co.za, or my SMS line 072-786-5520. It's 072-786-5520. Now, very important, I would like to mention, this is not my main number that I use all the time. This is specifically for Radio Islam, for the radio station that I use this number. So many a times people will try and call me on this number, and when I don't answer, then I'll get nasty SMSs. And I do get nasty SMSs as well. Why don't you answer your phone and so on? And I do have a day job as well, so please do understand. If I don't take your calls, try again. If I don't sometimes reply to your SMSs immediately, I do have a day job, so I will reply to your SMSs. If not, text me again. It may just slip out, and just text me again. I will respond to your SMSs as well. I get lots of times when it comes to programs like these, I do get, believe me, I do get abused, but it's part of the job. We have to go on with it, but that's the way it is, alhamdulillah, and I really enjoy it. Even though I get all these things, but I enjoy it. Last week I had one, it was a very, very nasty SMS that came regarding, well, it was just out of envy, somebody sent me nasty SMSs. I responded very well, and the person apologized thereafter, but I'm happy with those things. It happens. But be that as it may, we are very, very grateful to lots of individuals that will assist us on Radio Islam whenever we want information, we want details of certain countries. We do get information. In particular, Mr. Pandey made it a point to come to the studio today to sit and talk to us. And he mentioned to me as well that if there's anybody from Radio Islam's listenership that wants specific information, whatever it is, I must present it to him. He will definitely help us. He'll make it easy for us. So all the agents out there, it does not cost an arm and a leg. It's 3,325 rand for your labor, for your work. You know, a couple of $100, fine, not a problem. We can get it sorted out. But more than that, 3,325 rand for your OCI. When you go to India, your visa cost, you're already covering it up. From 3,325, visa cost is about 600 rand plus minus. What's the visa cost there?
Actually,
300 rand, is it?
Actually, the visa cost is not there. It's a gratis visa.
Yeah.
But there is a outsourcing company which charges you for your services.
That, yes.
That's around the 50 rand or something.
Oh, is it that? That, and then when you're going now to India, when you get there, you go to Taj Mahal, you're already covering up your cost. When you're going to all these other tourist places, when you're doing internal flights, your OCI is covered. Guys, let's get out there. Let's get our ancestors or our grandparents and parents' details. Let's apply for the OCI and let's get to India and let's go see what's our motherland like, inshallah. So those that need any more information, 072-786-5520. mohammed@globetrotting.co.za. From myself, Mohammed Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Oh, Jazakallah, Hafiz Anzala, for allowing us this time to sit in the studio till now. Jazakallah for not chucking me out of the studio. From myself, Mohammed Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.